The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells us so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. Good morning. This is Isaac. You guys probably just saw that baptism, but what you may not know is the rigorous testing that was involved for Isaac to pass to be baptized today. He underwent a long test, had to fill out all those bubbles and got it right. Do you think I'm telling you a story, or is that really what happened? No, it's not really what happened. No, I'm just telling you a story. I'm being silly. He can't do that yet, can he? He can't do any of that. Can Isaac say any words yet?
No.
No, Isaac doesn't even have words yet. He can't read. He can't do any of that. And yet, we baptized him because baptizing someone, this is what we believe, is not about how much they can show that they love God. It's how much that God can show us that he loves Isaac and you. And so what we're doing today, what all of this was a reminder that God loves each and every one of us. And one of the things that we love to do, we'll baptize an adult who hasn't been baptized, but we love to baptize even somebody just like Isaac, precisely because he can't speak up for himself. Because of that, because that's what we believe is God's love. It's not based on what you do. It's what is based on what God is doing in our lives. And that's the promise that I want you to hold. I also want you to remember that if you ever, when you're walking into church and you mark that cross on your forehead, you can put your finger in there and you can simply say, "God loves me and God loves the world." And that's a really good reminder because we need to hear that. And sometimes when we look at the world, we need to hear that God loves it too, to remind ourselves that that's our calling. As children of God, God calls us to reach out into our world and make changes. But right now, Isaac's not going to remember that. And how is Isaac going to learn that? That's right, she said, us. That's exactly right. It's up to each and every one of us to share this gift, this promise that Isaac has. And someday, Isaac can be with you and sharing that with others. You guys say a prayer with me? Dear God, bless Isaac and me. And remind us that God loves us and the world. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we continue in this story of you, and today we talk about God and our identity with God.
We all have many identities. I was thinking about that last night as I looked around the crowd. Gay woman, divorced man, cancer fighter. How many more identities would we like to bring up? And the reality that so many identities we're always coming to grips with. We're always trying to figure out how this identity is a part of who I am. Today we're reminded again that we're all coming to grips with constantly that reality that we are children of God and what that means and how we can live that out. But today, in order to talk about our identity, we look together at Scripture, at the book of Matthew and the story of Peter. I think if you read the book of Matthew and you read it through the lens of Peter, you quickly realize this book really highlights who this person is. One moment he's inquisitive, one moment he's heroic, one moment he's broken, one moment he's getting it right, one moment he's a coward, and one moment Jesus looks at him and says, I'm going to build a church around you. There are, of course, reasons for Peter being highlighted. Peter was the first leader of the church. But first, he was an everyday Jewish fisherman. And to the Jewish audience that Matthew was originally intended for, I think seeing that reality was doing right, but because God said, I love you and I want you to follow me, that stuck with them. I continue to think that Peter's character is a character that we are called to identify with in the Gospel of Matthew. I think that his person is meant to remind each of us that we may not feel called. We can get focused on our shortcomings, but we are called. We may not feel gifted, but we are enough. We may have made mistakes, but God will use us. And we may fall again, but God won't abandon us. And this is how I see this story, the story about Peter, becoming a story about you. My favorite biblical commentator, David Loos, said this. You see, Peter will go on to completely misunderstand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. He will later resist Jesus' intention to turn himself over to the authorities, and he will eventually deny and desert his Lord. But for now, right now, in just this moment, he confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and we give thanks for that moment. As I consider this the story of you and me, it is the understanding that God is at work in our lives that I hold as the story center today. We have said that as a church, we are centered on Christ, but we are seeking to widen the road. I love that. Precisely because Peter and you and me, we can be all over the map on the road. We aren't always centered where we need to be. We aren't always confessing Christ perfectly. We might not really know what a perfect confession of Christ is. But we know that God has opened the road to Isaac and us and calls us to open that road to others. Of course, we would open that road to others. If we're opening up to Isaac, who can't even speak yet, of course we're opening up to that person who can speak, that God sees in you, is this. Unlike Peter and Paul, most of us don't get called by Christ directly. We are called. God can use an angel from heaven to come down into your life. More often than not, that is not the experience that I hear and see in the world. More often than not, that angel is from down the street. One that opens our eyes to see God is oftentimes somebody even within our own family. This gift also becomes our challenge, though, for God needs you. God needs you in this promise. God looks at you as the primary sharer of this information. And God knows your gifts, your uniqueness, become something that helps this word spread. Your unique presence, you could say your spot on the road, where you are on that road, becomes a gift, because where you are, your eyes, your ears in that place helps you uniquely to hear and sense the world around you. And you can sense those people that are to the wayside of the road. Those people that, because of your own gifts and because of where you have placed yourself, you are one that can reach out to them. And perhaps they will also respond to your voice more than they would respond to Peter's voice and angels from heaven's voice. They'd respond to your voice. And maybe what God knew most is that we don't need unblighted heroes that always choose correctly. We need the vulnerable, broken down heroes in our life. The ones that are scared at times, angry at times, confused and tired at times. Because we relate to them. Because we know that they live a life like ours. We need them because our own story matches that story more than Christ's story. Now, today's text calls us to confess our belief in who Jesus is. And today, I confess that I believe in the suffering Christ who always sides with the vulnerable, the Christ who comes to us even when we can't come and speak up for ourselves. But in that story of you, we also have to ask ourselves who we are. Who is the church and who are we in it? In other words, in our own identity, what does it mean for us to confess Christ? There is so much going on in the world right now. So much that needs our efforts and our work and our passion and commitment. For the last 2 weeks, because there's been so much going on in the world, I have felt like I can't write my sermon until Saturday afternoon because I'm going to have to rewrite it anyways. But the reality is that I can't tell you your own identity as a child of God more than what I have in this baptismal promise, but that your unique gifts are a story that we need to continue to unfold. We are being called as individuals, as a community, to confess Christ. How will you respond to this call? Now, as church leaders, Pastor Lita and I can and will continue to call you to stand for justice, to stand for those who cannot stand up and speak for themselves. We will continue to hope that we can ignite your passions to speak up for those who are most vulnerable in our world. We will stand against oppression, racism, injustice. And today, I invite you to respond to a very real need that's just right here. Whether that's the perfect need and whether we always respond as we should, maybe we don't. But look, today we can respond to Texas. We are standing here, and if each of us, over and above our regular offering, would just contribute $20 towards that for each family that's here, and maybe somebody that can't do that can contribute a dollar, and maybe somebody that says, I can do more than that can do that, maybe we can reach our simple goal. And maybe we can tell the world that we care about them when they're hurting. And that's just one group. But each and every day, we could be looking at our lives that way, as individuals and as a church. What can we do to confess Christ in word and action to a world that needs to hear it? At the heart of what we know about you, at the heart of what I know about you, is that God is at work in you. Whether you like it or not. As God used Peter, God seeks to work through you constantly. I don't know how, but the disciples long ago and today knew that the living God is at work in each and every one of our communities and in each and every one of our lives, and we give thanks for God being present in all things, including small things. And in the end, we do this by walking together, by holding each other accountable, by lifting each other up, by celebrating baptisms of new life and entry into the church, and by praying for what we don't know, as I invite you to do now with me as we close this message. The Lord be with you. Gracious God, strengthen our identity in you. Help us to see ourselves as children of God, and help us to reflect that light and love with a world that needs to hear that. Help our unique gifts position ourselves to reach out beyond the road that is paved to the people who are wandering outside of that place that need to hear the gift of grace that we have been given. Help our church be a bastion of hope for our community, and help the baptismal promise carry far beyond this church into the world around us. And may we love one another as you love us. Amen. We invite you to join us in our sacred space in all the ways that we can respond to God's word.